Tonight's long scripture lesson speaks of the Christian life in the world today as that great day of judgment approaches. These readings speak of the great challenges that Christians face, not only with the world around us, but also with the temptations of our own flesh. Satan does not want us to have joy and peace and believing that the scriptures speak of. Satan does not want us to be God's children. The devil does not want us to be released from the clutches of eternal death. And so the devil will tell us whatever lies that he can come up with, hoping that some of his lies will resonate with us so that we would begin to doubt the word of God. One of the lies that the devil likes to do is to make you feel like you are all alone. Now, in his part, it's probably a brilliant tactic, but on our part, we must see it for what it is, and that is nothing but a lie. You see, as we continue to be faithful Christians, as we resist the ways of the world, the devil will want us to think that we are the ones who are in the wrong. He wants us to join the large crowds of those who do not confess Christ and who have been deceived into darkness. He wants us to consider all forms of sexual immorality as simply being normal or even good. He wants to sway us by the winds of public opinion or by the shifting sands of modern thought. But when he's unsuccessful at getting us to reject true biblical teaching, that's when he then tries to play that loneliness card. He tries to speak lies into our ears, saying, "Are you sure that you are so right that you disagree with most of your friends and even much of your family, that scientific community out there that knows no wrong, or sociologists or psychologists? Are you sure you have interpreted the Bible, that you have interpreted the Bible correctly?" The devil will whisper those lies into your ears, making you think that no one believes as you do anymore, and therefore you are all alone. So what then do you do? Do you join the crowd, join those masses of people who no longer confess Christ? Or do you maintain your position, which is based on the Word of God? Of course, as a Christian, one who has confessed that you will suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from the Word of God, you will want to do the latter. That is, you will want to listen intently to the Word of God. And you will recognize that you are not alone at all. You are joined in the faith with millions of Christians. You are joined in the faith with countless multitudes who have gone before you, who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You are joined in the faith with your brothers and sisters in Christ here at Grace and in our sister congregations. Remember these words of Hebrews chapter 12. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, we are never alone. Jesus prayed on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because he bore the sins of the world alone in his own body. And he suffered the wrath of God as the Father had forsaken him, leaving him to die. But Jesus did this for the joy that was set before him. He did this because he saw you in your sinful state, and he did this so that you can become a child of God, a brother or sister to our Lord Christ, and receive the beautiful inheritance of which our psalm spoke of. We are never alone. In fact, as you heard here in Hebrews 12, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, saints who have fought the good fight of faith and rest from their labors. And plus, remember that name of Jesus. He is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He took on human flesh and tabernacled among us. And even though he is seated at the right hand of the Father now, he is, as he has said, with us always, even to the end of the age. Jesus loves us to the extent that he was willing, for the joy that was set before him, to bear our sins in his body, shed his innocent blood on the cross, so that forgiveness is ours and we can be reconciled to our Father in heaven. Even when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit and tried to be alone, that is, they tried to hide from God, God refused to let them have their sinful way. Instead, God came down to them, walked in the garden to them, sought them out, and called them. And then what did he do? He promised to them the Messiah, the Christ, who would come to pay for their sin. When we adhere to the faith once delivered to the saints, we certainly go against the grain of public opinion and modern thought. Satan wants you to trust in what you see. He will whisper lies into your ears, saying, "Look around you. Which of your friends believe as you do? How many of your family members still hold to the teachings that you are holding on to? And why bother with it all?" Or we will see the things that Jesus warns, people's hearts failing as they witness wars, rumors of wars and earthquakes, brother delivering brother to death, the father, his child, and children rising up against parents and being hated by all for Christ's name's sake. Faith, however, does not cling to what we see, even as Christians experience many evils in this life. Remember the words of Hebrews 11. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Whenever we see unbelief taking place around us, whenever we see sin and immorality occurring, whenever we begin to think that our old system of faith may not suffice in this fast-paced modern society, then we must remember what faith truly is. For our faith is not in that which we see, but in that which is unseen. For it is written, "We do not look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So our hope is not in this world or even in the fleeting things that are found throughout this world, but our hope is found in the promise and the blessings of Christ. Christ alone is our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. For he has overcome death and the grave, and he is even risen from the dead. Jesus had descended into hell, where he proclaimed his victory. But having come out of there, he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, where he reigns. He has earned our forgiveness, and so he reigns as our King. And Jesus will come again on that last day at the appointed time, a time which we do not know and a time when many will not expect. He will come with great power and with glory. He will judge us Christians to be righteous, for he will acquit us of all of our sin, and he will receive us into his everlasting kingdom. He will raise our bodies up, and we will be whole and complete in every way. This is sure and certain, for Christ, the Word made flesh, declared, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." We do not know when that day will occur. The signs which we see, they do indicate that he is indeed coming. For the prophecies that he has said are being fulfilled and have been fulfilled. And so Jesus says to all of us, stay awake. Jesus declared, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Endure to the end. Not just have a nice little stroll in the park to the end, but endure to the end. This suggests hard work, even difficulty and suffering. For the Christian life,